There's more challenges. The largest study yet of coronavirus cases in England suggests the growth of the pandemic may be slowing down. Researchers at Imperial College London say the virus reproduction, or the R number, appears to have fallen since measures to control the outbreak were introduced. But they warn cases are still high, with one in every 200 people infected. To talk through the latest developments is Dr. Angela Obasi, Senior Clinical Lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Angela, good to have you back with us this morning. It looks like we may be facing some of the toughest local restrictions yet across the country. When you heard that, what was your initial thought?
So thanks for having me back again. Not unsurprising, really, that there is a possibility that local guidance will be responding to local epidemiology. That's why we do this. That's why we're doing this surveillance, so that we can identify where transmission is taking place most aggressively, most rapidly, and respond to that. Did you see the briefing last night? It was.
I did. Yeah.
It was really information rich, and for your listeners who haven't had a chance to view it, I really would recommend hunting it down on the internet and just spending. It's about 40 minutes, but there's just a wealth of information really that summarised where we are now and compared it to where we were back in the spring. And looking at how the epidemiology, how the distribution, how the spread of the virus is spread across the country, how it differs from region to region, and in the face of that up to date information, you would expect up to date and localized responses. Mm. And I think it's actually really good that we're in a position to be able to make that kind of fine detail of response.
Why do you think we've had the spike here on Merseyside? I mean, it is fine margins when we're measuring the R rate, and the discrepancy can be slight, but it can have an effect.
So, yeah, the numbers are, again, I think everybody you've had on the show has said it before, but I'll say it again. This is really quite different to the way it was in the spring. The numbers are much smaller than they were in the spring. So the differences are smaller. So rather than a difference between 400 and 700, you're talking about a difference between 30 and 40. So, you know, I think it doesn't do to overemphasize that. I think we don't know really entirely why the regional differences are so great, and in a year's time, 2 years' time, we might know much more about how all these different factors interact. So there's a social element, but then there's the biology of the virus. There's how, you know, that even variations in climate and environment might have an impact that we just can't account for yet, because we don't have all the information.
Yeah, we have a lot more information than we have, but we don't have it all yet. And last night on the briefing, for those that saw it, you know, Boris Johnson mentioned, you know, if you are getting fed up with it, you know, we can't get fed up with it. And we get regular, you know, texts. I'll read one out now that's come in since we've been having a chat. I won't read it all, but it's, you know, we do not need further restrictions. The virus will run its course. It may be slow, but it will elongate the process. And there are a lot of people who say, well, it is what it is, and the virus needs to just run its course. This is nature. But that's going to be tough to take for workers on the front line and for people who've lost relatives and friends.
So one of the most impressive things I felt about last night's briefing was the segment where Chris Whitty showed an animation of how the virus spread altered in response to lockdown restrictions. If we change what we do as human beings, we can affect the spread of this virus. So I don't really agree that we should let it run its course. I think that there are daily acts of care that we as individual people can do to protect ourselves and protect our neighbours. And if not much, you know, remembering to take your mask with you, remembering to wash your hands, remembering to take a step back when you bump into a friend as you're passing. Yeah. These are not great things. These are not massive actions to take.
But we're doing it without thinking about it now. Certainly the vast majority of people do it without thinking. Now, you'll stop and let somebody walk past, or if somebody's close, you'll move away, or they'll move away. And you will still get instances of people being totally oblivious. And, you know, that does worry people when you see somebody in a shop, for example, with no mask on, etc., etc. But the vast majority of people are being compliant with this. And as you rightly said, you know, when Chris Whitty showed you that map, it looked like a game show map, didn't it? You know, the lights coming on. It was a really easy way to understand this is when we went into lockdown. This is when the restrictions started. And it pretty much didn't go away, but it certainly made a huge difference.
It did. It made a huge difference. And it just, and for me, I felt that that's really, the more people that see that, the more, the better the understanding will be that these small changes, and, you know, we have limitations now on household mixing. So we're not in full lockdown, but we are taking steps that will make a difference. You know, I found that really heartening, actually. And maybe it's because I'm a researcher and I love data, I love evidence.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was good evidence.
I think one thing that a lot of people will take heart from this morning is the research that's been done by the Imperial College London saying the virus, or the R number, appears to have fallen. We could have some light at the end of the tunnel here.
Definitely, I would say so. And, you know, again, as we said before, the situation we have now is not as bad as it was in the spring. And that evidence, so this is what you're talking about, is a study from Imperial called the REACT study.
Yep.
And that provides lots of very localised data. So that R number that you're reporting is an average overall, which gives us hope. But as Patrick Vallon said last night, it's really important that we don't become complacent, because, as you said right at the start of the programme, it doesn't take much for that an increase, only a small increase in that R can turn the ship back in the opposite direction. So there is hope, but we shouldn't be complacent.
And just to finish with, Angela, do you think we're likely to be dealing with this now for a long time, like we do with other viruses, like, you know, the flu? A lot of people getting flu jabs, you know, in the coming weeks and so on and so forth. It's something that's always going to be around, and we hope for the vaccine. You can never put a date on these things, but, you know, next year, 2021, it seems hopeful.
Yeah, we won't know for sure whether COVID will be around forever and ever for a while yet, because, you know, it's still a new virus. But we're on track to get a vaccine. We understand the epidemiology, the infrastructure that we've got now in terms of being able to do surveillance, being able to keep track. This is going to set us in good stead for any future epidemic. So whatever happens, I think we're going to be better off in 2021 than we are in 2020, than we've been in 2020.
Dr. Angela, as ever, thanks for being with us on the programme this morning. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, take care, my dear.
You too.
Bye.
This is Dr. Angela Obasi, who's a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. 17.